Hope everyone had a great weekend and enjoyed the college football games, as they were very interesting. And one particular outcome that I think a lot of people paid attention to over the weekend was the Alabama and LSU game. Of course, a top five matchup in Baton Rouge. And for a while there, it looked like the number one ranked Crimson Tide was going to take a loss in the Bayou, but it didn't happen. And Alabama was able to escape with last second heroics led by quarterback A.J. McCarron and came back down the field and won the game 21-17 in what I think is one of the most dramatic finishes in college football that I have personally seen in quite some time. And I just wonder what everyone out there thinks. And we're going to get the opinion here of the college football professor. You, of course, watched the game and saw the unfolding there at the end. So your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a great game. You know, we always trying to come up with different metaphors to describe what one of these great games is like. You know, the people want to compare them to horse races, or maybe we could call it a mule pulling. But it was just two great teams that went at it. And they sparred and they jabbed and they sparred and jabbed, and it looked like for a while that Alabama had the upper hand. But then all of a sudden, when it ended the first half and began the second half, LSU began to take over the game. So it looked like they had the upper hand. But right at the end, with about a minute to go, Alabama then came across with a strong knockout punch, and they won the game by KO.
That's right.
So that's the way it was. I thought, you know, Jacob, I told you last week that what I thought needed to happen would have been for Alabama to play lights out on defense.
Right.
And that didn't happen.
Well, what do you make of, you know, a lot of people want to say it projects weakness from Alabama, the fact that they were effectively dominated, especially in the second half, in the third quarter, and most of the fourth quarter until the very end. Do you think it's a case of just being on the road, they played a lot of big games, or do you think Alabama may not be as good as everyone thought?
I think it's just two good teams playing each other. You know, when people look at that, they forget that there's a very good team on the other side, and they're trying to do what they want to do. They're trying to impose their will on you. And if you look at the game, look at it this way. We know that for a long time, LSU was having they had a very good success on third down conversions. They had third and long, third and long, third and long. And they converted those, and that was to LSU's credit. Well, on the other side, Alabama's defense was pushing them until they were in third and long. So it was both teams doing well, but that's the way it is when two great teams play each other. But the interesting thing, and we can't neglect looking at the fact that the LSU quarterback,
that's
Mettenberger,
right,
had a great game.
He
played a great game, and I thought their receivers played quite well, and that's just part of the game.
Yeah, he was 24 of 35 for 298 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions. That's quite an accomplishment, but especially against the Nick Saban-coached Alabama defense. Well, a couple other games that evolved Saturday. I think the second biggest story was, in my opinion, now a lot of people thought the Oregon game was, and we'll get to that in a second, but Pittsburgh and Notre Dame. Notre Dame, by the skin of their teeth, I mean, I was sitting there thinking there's no way Pittsburgh is going to lose the game, had a two-touchdown lead late, and then missed a field goal in overtime, of course, to win. What'd you make out of that in the Fighting Irish?
Well, there are two things. First of all, there was that bogus pass interference penalty, which, had it not been called, the game would have been over, because that was a fourth down play. But then Pittsburgh had absolutely an open door. I mean, I'm talking about a wide open door with a very medium range field goal. All they had to do is kick it through, and they win the game. And they high snap, bad kick. And we know that the kicker is a very good kicker, because later he kicked one about 10 yards further, right down the middle. Notre Dame is I'm not sure they are an elite team. Now, they're good. They're a good football team. They have a good defense. They have good players, play well, plan well, coached well, and all of those kind of things. But I'm not sure that they are at the level of the other three unbeatens that are at the top.
Let's talk about another one of those unbeatens, and that's Oregon, 62-51 in Los Angeles in the Coliseum. It was a basketball game to a certain extent, and I think it's interesting to talk about which brand of football do people prefer. And the ratings for the Alabama-LSU game CBS averaged 10.4 million viewers Saturday night. This is an average, not the total. And in comparison, Fox averaged nearly 3 million for Oregon, USC, and ABC 2.9 for Kansas State and Oklahoma State. So definitely Alabama-LSU game got three times as many viewers as Oregon.
Well, I'm going to have to just say about the USC-Oregon game that I was surprised. Mm-hmm. I did not think it would be a game like this. And I think it tells us a couple of things. And I think they're both they're right there to see. And that is, first of all, that USC is average. I thought at the beginning of the year, and I think most everybody was already touting them as going to be in the national championship game. But they have looked I'm not talking about not being a good football team. They are. They got a lot of good players. They got a good quarterback. They have really great receivers. But they're just not a top-rate team in the sense of, being projected as one of the best in the nation. On the other side, Oregon is a legit team. They are absolutely a legitimate football team. And so when that happened, they clashed and the best team won.
I agree with that. Oregon is a legitimate team. They won 62-51. Oklahoma State couldn't do it against Kansas State, and they continue to roll. And that takes us to the BCS standings, this week's standings. And here are your top 10: Alabama, Kansas State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Georgia. That's your top five. Georgia's the top one-loss team in the nation. Florida, LSU, South Carolina, by the way, that's four SEC teams in a row. And then Louisville is 9. Florida State is 10. So what were your impressions as you saw the rankings released last night?
It unfolded about like I thought it might unfold. I felt like that that Kansas State and Oregon would bump up a little bit. And I tell you, Notre Dame in the next two games is going to continue to have difficulty with the computers. I must say that I was a little bit surprised that Alabama jumped to number one in the computers that quick, even though that's a big win over a big time program. But nonetheless, they did. I think we'll just see the thing play out.
It'll be interesting. I really think the second team, if Alabama were to, assuming they go undefeated, that between Kansas State, Oregon, and Notre Dame, and nobody gets beat, who gets that slot? I think Notre Dame is the hardest shot, as you just got through saying, but I think Kansas State and Oregon, they're both going to be lobbying, and it'll be another wild and wacky finish. Well, let's take a look at some games for this weekend, and I'm sure you have quite a list there, so let's get started.
Okay. I guess the big game is the game between Alabama and Texas A&M. I think this is going to be quite a challenge for Alabama. But as I said last week, I believed Alabama need to play lights out on defense against LSU. Now you're going to think, well, here comes a good, great offense, so surely they need to have lights out on defense again. No, I think Alabama in this game needs to play lights out on offense, so that they control the ball, move the ball, score a lot, and then contain Texas A&M.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a different, obviously much different challenge for Alabama. LSU had a strong defense, strong, very hard-nosed offensive line and running game on offense. Texas A&M a little different. And Johnny Manziel, I mean, he and Alabama's contained running quarterbacks well in the past, but this guy's really good. If you haven't seen him play, it's for real. It's not a joke.
Well, and also I don't know this, but I hear the people who I trust and have a lot of knowledge of football say that Texas A&M has the best set of offensive tackles in America, and that has to bode well for a guy like Johnny Manziel.
Well, and one more thing before we move on from that game. What do you think it says that Texas A&M is now number one in both scoring and total offense in the SEC? I think that's pretty interesting considering their first-year team.
Right, they just have a lot of weapons. One other thing, Jacob, going back to the Alabama LSU for a moment.
Okay,
the thing that we did see is that Alabama did not panic. That's one thing that really boded well for them. They managed their timeouts quite well. They played with poise, and they used their playmakers. And that's what you have to do during the game. You have to manage the whole game. You can't just do part of it.
That is very true.
What other games would you like for us to look at?
Well, let's take a look at this Oregon State and Stanford game. I think this is another game. There are not a few games between ranked versus ranked teams, and this is one of them. And you might want to call this the Oregon Bowl because Oregon has both of these teams remaining on its schedule, both the Beavers and the Cardinal from Stanford. And this really can't hurt them either way, whoever wins. But it's going to be interesting to see because if Oregon State were to win this game and then beat Oregon, don't they win that division?
Yes, and this will be a good game. I think these are two just good, solid football teams.
Right.
They don't have a lot of razzmatazz, and they don't do it with mirrors and smoke and all that kind of stuff. They just go at you and hit you,
that's right. And
that's the kind of game they play. And so this will be a really good football game, I think.
Couple other games, another ranked versus ranked, and this is the other one. There are three of them this weekend, and it's Mississippi State at LSU. A quiet game. I think LSU needs to be very careful. I know it's at home, but, of course, they will be emotionally drained and probably in the dumps after that game.
It'll be hard to imagine that they're going to get the Tiger roar in Tiger Stadium this week. but I just think that maybe – that they will say, you know, we've got a pretty good quarterback here, and they might use him.
South Carolina hosts Arkansas, and Steve Spurrier always complains because he has to play tougher teams from the West, and Mark Richt gets to play the easy schedule. But it's true. Georgia was highly benefited from that this year because they're going to Atlanta, and South Carolina's not. But they host the Razorbacks this weekend. But I think it'll be another chance for Steve Spurrier to just pound somebody.
I think you're right there. And, of course, he doesn't have his main pounder, though, and that could hurt them. But Arkansas's defense is just lacking. So I think South Carolina wins this game easily.
Derek Dooley, Tennessee hosts Missouri this weekend, and I think Derek Dooley, he loses this game, and he might be gone sooner rather than later.
He sure needs to have either this win or win over Vanderbilt. I think those are the critical two games for him.
And then how about number 5, Georgia at Auburn? This game usually had a great, or in the years past, has had a great impact on the SEC championship game, and it does to a degree. Georgia has to win, but Auburn really has no shot, and this game's fallen off.
Well, Auburn got back on the winning ways, and they'll probably be pumped up for Georgia, but I think that Georgia will deflate them pretty quick.
Also from the SEC, Vanderbilt at Ole Miss. And I just want to note here before we get through and see if you have a comment on Joker Phillips was notified yesterday by open letter from Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart that he will no longer be retained as the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. And not a surprise, but Kentucky now looking for a coach.
I'm sure they were just trying to decide when's the best time to announce it.
It'll be interesting to see where they go, and if Tennessee fires their coach, where they go, and Auburn, I think, will fire their coach, and it'll be interesting to see where they go. So three vacancies to be filled this year. Well, another good segment with the college football professor, and we eagerly await the upcoming week in college football, but something tells me it just won't be as exciting as the last.
We need to encourage everyone to get out and vote.
That's right.
And also to encourage them to pray that God just direct up people's hearts.
Well, and that, we talk about football, and it's fun to talk about sports, but elections are a serious matter, and people need to take their patriotism seriously and do exercise your right to vote in this country. Well, I hope everyone has a great week, and we'll be back later in the week. David Sears at the end of the week to predict the games of the weekend, as well as more from the Bun Sports Show and BunSports.com. For the College Football Professor, I'm Jacob Bunn. We'll see you next time.